This year's theme for International Women's Day is Inspire Inclusion. But what does inspiring inclusion look like in a field like cybersecurity, where women held only 25% of cybersecurity jobs globally in 2022? What does inclusion in cybersecurity mean for an organization like the National Bank of Rwanda, mandated to maintain price stability and a sound financial system? With global cybercrime damage projected to reach a staggering $10.5 trillion and the internet becoming even more ubiquitous post the COVID-19 pandemic, robust cybersecurity systems are more critical than ever. My name is Portia Uwase and welcome to episode 8 of the NBR podcast, which brings you the latest news and insights from Rwanda's central bank. Today, I'm privileged to be joined by Sonia Umutesi, the IT Governance and Compliance Officer, and Sandra Ishimwe, a Security Operations Center or SOC analyst, both from the National Bank of Rwanda. Together, they will delve into why cybersecurity is critical for organizations like the National Bank of Rwanda and discuss how more women can join this important field. So my first question goes to Sandra. Sandra, welcome to the NBR podcast. So how would you describe cybersecurity and your typical workday?
Thank you, Portia. So basically, cybersecurity is a practice of protecting computer systems, networks, and data from unauthorized access. And as a SOC analyst, my typical workday revolves around ensuring the security of our systems and networks. So I start my day by reviewing overnight security alerts and incident reports to assess the current threat landscape. And then throughout the day, we continuously monitor events and logs using different tools such as SIEM and EDR platforms. So SIEM stands for Security Information and Events Management. So we use those different tools to identify potential threats and anomalies or any suspicious activity. Simultaneously, we regularly conduct vulnerability assessment and penetration testing to identify weaknesses in our systems and network and address them. And lastly, the reporting for management review and decision making.
Before we go to Sonia, can you please walk us through some of these threats?
Some of the vulnerabilities that we normally see, they are Trojans and some viruses that are hidden on laptops that people might not even be aware of them.
In addition to what Sandra was saying, actually, when we look at cybersecurity, it's all about the weak link internally before we now start going to the technology side of things. So if the people that are using this technology that we have, that are sending emails internally in the company or in the institution, they don't understand the value of cybersecurity, now that's where the threat comes in. And like she mentioned, the more threats that we deal with are the Trojans, yes, and some of the viruses, but of course they have the solutions that are in place. But key cyber threat is the weak link of a person not understanding thoroughly what they're dealing with, how to differentiate between a phishing attack or a phishing email from a genuine email. Yeah.
Thank you very much for clarifying. So Sonia, why did you join the cybersecurity profession and what are you doing to thrive in it? Because it's not a lot of women, like we said in our introduction, it's only 25%. And I think with fields like those where you don't even have a big probability of getting a mentor who is also a woman and can understand your journey, that can be tough.
That's a good one. Maybe I'll start from the early stages. When I was still young, I had this fascination of technology and the little nitty-gritties of how a TV works or, you know, plugging in and plugging out things. But later, as I grew in the technology world and as I grew in my career, I now started to identify where my strengths are and where I can see myself striving more. And that's how I ended up in cybersecurity. And of course, the opportunities you meet along the way also contribute in where you end up. And so that's how I really joined the cybersecurity field. And coming back to why I chose cybersecurity is because it not only the passion drove me, but also the fact that I could make a difference in making sure that the information systems are protected. You talked about cybersecurity being very limited. It has less women in the field, and I think it's more of a general issue when it comes to the STEM world, right? Because less women are engaged in the STEM world, and it's not because it's not doable, but it's because it's perceived as complex. Now, thriving in cybersecurity requires consistency, requires understanding the weight that it carries, you know, making sure that the systems and the ecosystem that we're working with is highly secured, and ensuring that whoever is using these systems understand the level of security and the impact it might bring to the table. While if let's say a breach was to be encountered, is something that a person should, you know, understand. And so by doing that, you learn, you educate yourself as per the standards out here, the ISO, the various security standards, and then now continuous practice on a daily basis. And as I said, consistency is key. This will, with the combination of the passion, then that's how I managed to thrive in this environment. And yeah,
thank you very much, Sonia, for that. So when I ask people what they think when they think about the National Bank of Rwanda, most people will say money. They do not probably understand that the National Bank of Rwanda has a department like the cybersecurity team. So why is it important for an organization like the National Bank of Rwanda to have a cybersecurity team when its main mandate is price stability, you know, a sound financial system? So walk us through why we need cybersecurity. And then you can also talk about Trojans, because I still remember.
Thank you again, Portia. So let me start by clarifying what is a Trojan and how it acts. So a Trojan is it's like a malicious software that hides itself, like it hides its intention as a legitimate software, and then it executes different tasks that may include deleting, modifying your data without you even knowing it. Yeah, that's what Trojan is. Going back to the question you were asking me, why we need cybersecurity, crucially for an organization like BNR, the crucial responsibility of the central bank for maintaining the price stability and a sound financial system is one of the main reasons why we need cybersecurity, because any cyber attack, whether it be a ransomware or a phishing attack targeting the NBR or any financial institution, it could potentially disrupt our economy and undermine the investors' confidence and harm the overall financial health of our country. So ensuring the integrity and the confidentiality of the data that financial institution holds is one of the main reasons why we need cybersecurity in financial institutions like BNR and others.
Thank you so much for that answer. And I'm thinking, because a lot of our operations have moved online, that would also demand for more cybersecurity analysts. Would that be an accurate assumption to make?
Yeah, definitely. The more we are digitalized, the more we need cyber analysts, the more we need to be more secure. Like, people need to feel safe that whether they're depositing, whether they are doing their financial transaction or any other thing online, they need to have that sense of that their data is kept safe and that there won't be any theft or any data breach. So cybersecurity is there to guarantee that and make sure that all the operations are done smoothly.
I'm still with you, Sandra, before we go on to Sonia. I can imagine that because cybersecurity is such an evolving field and one that's becoming even more critical, especially in the years after the pandemic, there are many unprecedented challenges analysts like yourself face on the job. So could you please walk us through some of the challenges you face when you're doing your job and how the National Bank of Rwanda is supporting you in addressing those challenges?
All right, thank you. Mainly, some of the challenges that we face is the advancement of the cyber threats. So as technology evolves, so is the attackers try to continuously improve their tactics to bypass the security defenses and exploit vulnerabilities with more sophisticated technologies. So keeping up with those threats require constant vigilance and advanced tools. And that's something that the National Bank of Rwanda has allocated resources to deploy advanced cybersecurity technologies. Some of them are next generation firewalls, the SIEM tools that we've mentioned. So all those tools were allocated to us to help us tackle this challenge of advanced threats. Another thing is skill shortage, where, like as we've mentioned, that the cybersecurity field is an exponential industry that grows daily. So there is this shortage of skilled people with advanced expertise. And one thing that we thank the NBR is that they've invested in training and development of employees to tackle this.
So Sonia, last year the National Bank of Rwanda hosted a workshop with cybersecurity experts and financial sector executives to discuss the implementation of the Financial Sector Security Operations Center. Can you please walk us through what this initiative entails and its objectives? I know we had talked about it on our social media platforms, but you can give us more detail on what that is and what it will achieve in the coming years.
Thank you, Portia. I would like to go just a little bit back for the purpose of really understanding where this objective came from and for the audience to also understand the history behind this. So the National Bank invested, like Sandra was saying, into, since it's an ever-growing field, technology in general is growing. And as we were talking the other time, that things used to be done manually and now we have digitalized concepts, and now protecting what is being done online needs security, right? And so that's where the Security Operations Center project came from, whereby now we need a clear visibility of how our ecosystem in the bank is functioning in terms of any kind of breach, any kind of malicious activities that would be going on internally. And then now from there, the management saw it fit that with the combination of the rest of the financial sector, there should be something like that in terms of protecting the financial sector's transactions and whatever that is done in the financial sector world. And so they brought up the project of the FinSoc, right, where now it's a centralized platform of all the financial sectors, or at least the banks so far today. They're the ones that are onboarded, where now they're sharing security information for appropriate action, right? And so the event last year was really about assessing where the project is at, the status of how we are onboarding various banks in the Financial Security Operations Center, and ensuring that now that kind of centralized platform is existent, is kicking off. We are attaining information that can easily help us to quickly react, right? And of course, as a regulator of the financial sector, we need to have that kind of visibility of the cyber incidents and cyber threats that are all over the financial sector, for appropriate measures to be put in place, for controls, for regulations for these financial institutions. So the main objective is, one, to have a centralized security hub where now we are sharing security information, where you're sharing any good or bad kind of data that can help improve the security environment that we have in various institutions. The second is real-time threat monitoring, right? If we have that fully functional financial security operations center, then we'll be having threats analysis in real time and identifying that there is a threat in bank A and it is supposed to be mitigated in ABCD manner, so that now even that information is shared to the central bank for action or even consideration. Maybe there is a certain infrastructure that we share with that kind of with bank A that we need to also react promptly so that that kind of breach or incident wouldn't happen here. The other is I tackled on that, on the threat intelligence sharing, and most of it the capacity building, right? So once we share this kind of information, once we articulate this kind of data from various institutions, we get to learn and improve how the infrastructure is done. And now that's very key for cybersecurity because it is an area of constant improvement. You do not set up a solution and just leave it there for forever. You know, you have to always evolve, and the capacity building aspect is very key and helps even attract young men and women to, you know, understand how this functions. And lastly is on the regulatory compliance part. Of course, if we have such kind of information, such kind of data, it's easier for the bank to assess what needs to be done, what needs to be rectified in some of the financial institutions for future purposes. So that's mainly the activity around this project or event that happened last year. Aside of having that financial security operations center update project and understanding where now some of the banks stand in terms of the implementation and onboarding of the in the FinSOC, now there is a component of where the executives and the cyber experts in various institutions that were invited had to now impersonate as cyber experts and play this simulation game where they were challenged to analyze complex scenarios, formulate effective response strategies, and make crucial decisions under pressure as a cybersecurity expert, depending on the scenario that the game gives you, you know. And that was a very critical activity, which not only the competitive side of things, but also brought out a deeper understanding of the cybersecurity best practices and encouraged how to appropriately allocate resources according to the need of the institutions. You know, it more like gave the executives and the cyber experts what they are to expect in the cyber world, which is really what we need, the kind of awareness that we need even for the senior management of these institutions, either public or private, when it comes to cybersecurity, because cyber threats are real and they need real and timely reactions in order to appropriately address any kind of threats.
Hey, Sonia, thank you so much for that detail. I guess my follow-up question would be, what are some of these cybersecurity regulations and standards the National Bank of Rwanda is requiring these institutions to follow through? And if so, are there any national and international standards that the National Bank of Rwanda as a regulator has to follow through in cybersecurity?
Yes, I might not be the expert in the regulations that the bank entails the various financial institutions, because we have a department for that, where now it's now addressing the financial regulations and all that comes with the regulation part of things. But one thing that I'm sure of is that they need to have a cybersecurity department. Like my colleague had mentioned, they need to have clear infrastructure that really entails what a cybersecurity infrastructure looks like. A SIEM, these antiviruses, these controls that are put in place to support the security tools, right? So these main regulations, and on top of that, they need to adhere to the data protection laws that the NCSA implemented and published, right? So in collaboration with the National Cybersecurity Authority, we make sure that the financial sector now adheres to what the country's cybersecurity is supposed to look like, right? So I wouldn't go through the regulations because, as I mentioned, I'm not the expert in this matter. But one thing for sure is that the National Bank requires cybersecurity team and the cybersecurity leads in these financial sectors.
All right, so I guess we'll have to have someone from the regulations department to walk us through all of that and what it entails. So this is one of my last questions to you, Sandra. It's Women's History Month. And, you know, the theme, like I said at the beginning, was inspiring inclusion. And organizations are being called to encourage more women to be in STEM. They're encouraging organizations to give them training and access to resources. But why should women care about this field? Why should they want to join this team at the National Bank of Rwanda and beyond? And what advice would you give to the women who are at career crossroads and they're thinking maybe cybersecurity would be a good option for me to join?
Okay, thank you, Portia. So as you've mentioned, the Women's Month provides an excellent opportunity to highlight the importance of gender diversity in the tech world and especially in cybersecurity, and the reason why women should consider joining cybersecurity specialists, because we are capable of doing much more than we are anticipated to do. So as we've mentioned, the skill gap that is in cyber, women can join cybersecurity to close that skill gap. The perspective that women, we cannot do those sophisticated things. I know, because when you say cybersecurity, somebody thinks you're just being a hacker, like writing sophisticated codes, and it's intimidating. So having that perspective that if me or Sonia or any other women can dive through that field, then you also can, you can make it. And what I can encourage young women who wants to join cybersecurity is just not shy away from pursuing their education and just diving deeper into their studies and knowing that opportunities are there, and yeah, you can pursue them and just succeed, become an expert. Yeah.
And I'm imagining it's a career that's like financially rewarding too. Would you say so?
Yeah, definitely. It's, as we've said, it's an ongoing growing field, and the skill gap is not only in Rwanda but worldwide. So yeah, there's a need of cyber experts everywhere, and it will still be growing. So yeah, it's rewarding.
All right, so you can join the field for some job security. Okay, Sonia, this is my last question to you, and I ask this to every guest. Is there a question you wanted me to ask, but I didn't ask it? So if there is, this is your opportunity to say the question out loud and answer it as well.
Yeah, thank you, Portia. I think it's not a question that, maybe not what I wanted you to ask, but something that I think should be asked more often than not. The governance point of view now, how does governance or IT governance feed into cybersecurity and vice versa. And it's one thing to have security, but it's another thing to have it streamlined with the business processes that we do. And that's where now the governance comes in, to clearly identify that the IT operations that we do on a daily basis have this kind of impact when it comes to business, because at the end of the day, IT is a supporting entity to the business. And now if we have IT supporting the business processes and security is protecting the IT world for the business to be appropriately done, so you can imagine if it's not clearly guided that this kind of operation in IT, the development of a certain system is supposed to be done like this, the security, the onboarding of some of the infrastructure is supposed to be done like this, you can imagine the chaos it will lead in the business world, you know, because at the end, we're now confusing rather than supporting the business. So that's something that most institutions should really invest as much as we're investing in cybersecurity. It is very key to invest in the holistic governance of the information systems that we are running, because at the end of the day, having each and everything streamlined supports the business appropriately, makes that transaction get to where it has to get in time and securely. So yeah, that's mainly something that I think would have been nice to bring to the table as well. As we talk about security, we're also talking about aligning things so that it's not just at the end of the road, but from where it starts till the end of the road.
All right, thank you, Sonia, for that. And thank you, Sandra and Sonia, for coming to the NBR podcast. This was such a riveting conversation. I personally learned quite a lot about the importance of cybersecurity in the financial sector. I learned that it's a growing field and that more women stand to gain a lot professionally when they join the cybersecurity profession, and that the profession will also gain from more women being included. So I couldn't think of better people to articulate this than you, Sandra and Sonia.
Thank you so much, Portia. It was a pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much for having us. Glad to be here.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the conclusion of episode 8 of the NBR podcast. We'll see you in 2 weeks. And this is a reminder that you can follow us on social media, on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn. So please follow us for more information about the National Bank of Rwanda. Thank you so much for joining us.